Scripture reading will be taken from Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you wake, they will talk to you.
When I announced this morning that what I wanted to speak on tonight was some things that parents could expect from their children, I got all sorts of parents saying, "Preach it," and "Preach it loud." Well, and I understand that. Believe it or not, I'm still a son, and still have my parents who are alive, and I'm grateful for that. And some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight are things that certainly can be applied even at a later age, and I am grateful that, and I can always learn, and you can always learn as well. Anytime you talk about family relationships, you're typically going to get a good hearing. It may not be a good sermon, but everybody at least pays attention, because these are such critical relationships in lives. And that's part of why I wanted us to talk about this tonight, about some things that parents can expect or should be able to expect from their children. And I'm going to really do this tonight by just mentioning about three or four things that I think are important for children to consider, especially. This lesson would be for everybody's attention, obviously, but all who are children, I'd like for you to think carefully about the things that I'm going to say, because quite frankly, there are a lot of children who don't care to have these characteristics in their lives today, especially as it relates to their parents. And these are certainly things that I think are biblical things. They're certainly principles that are found in the Bible. And so I want you to give, if you would tonight, your full attention to these things. I like to read the Proverbs for a number of reasons. They are filled with admonitions that help me be better. If I apply these things to life, I'm a better person. And I found Proverbs numerous times through the years that as I read these short ideas about how to live life, they've helped me. I've read some of them that it's taken me a while to figure out. I've read some of them that it's taken me a while with other people helping me to figure out. And I've read many that I figured out but just didn't really care to apply. And it's still taking me some time to learn about those. And so those are all different ways in which I react to those Proverbs. But the ones that I'm going to mention tonight I think are important, specifically as it relates to children and what they ought to be in reference to their parents. And again, I hope that you'll find the lesson helpful to you, and I hope that certainly you'll take it and evaluate honestly and think about the things that we're going to talk about. In Proverbs 28, I'm going to begin there tonight in Proverbs the 28th chapter. I want you to look at a proverb that probably isn't one of the most familiar to us, but it's there, and it has an important lesson, I think, for us to consider. In Proverbs 28 and verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. This is a proverb that is almost, it's just unbelievable that it would even happen. But if someone were to rob his father or his mother and says, "Well, I really not transgressed, I've not really broken any laws," he says, that will destroy the relationship. And obviously, that makes a lot of sense to me. I have known of children in the past. Fortunately, they're not mine, but I have known of children in the past who have literally stolen from their parents. I've known children in the past. I've had associates. I don't know if I'd want to call them my friends, but I can remember a couple of people in high school who would come to school and who would talk about the fact that, you know, they got this from their parents. And I'd think, well, they're pretty generous parents. And then they'd say, well, the parents don't know I got it. And I'm thinking, well, that's just stealing. That's just taking. And certainly that's not the kind of relationship that a parent and a child should have. I've known some children who are older, who, because of the age of their parents and the inability of their parents to think about money and to deal with that, they've taken advantage of their parents. I've known, as they've gotten older and when they've had access to funds and that sort of thing, I've known people to take advantage of that. And really what the proverb is saying is that stealing, and certainly stealing of any kind will destroy relationship, but what it does, it destroys the trust that a person has. And once you destroy trust in a relationship, you go a long way toward destroying that relationship. Now, obviously, we understand it from the point of view of if a person takes money and that money's not given as a generous gift, but it's taken and nobody knows, that's stealing. Let's call it what it is. And the proverb writer says that will destroy the relationship. But I want to suggest to you tonight that there are other ways that children can rob parents. They can take from parents when maybe they don't even intend to. But there are some things that I think parents deserve from their children. And I just want to mention some of these things to you tonight. Some of them, I think, most all of them will be pretty obvious. And the first thing that I want to mention is probably the most obvious. And that is, a parent should expect their child to honor them and to respect them. Now, I realize that that's something that happens over time. And I realize as young children, that may be more difficult to understand from a practical standpoint. But I think all children ought to be able to get that. They ought to be able to understand that. One of the Ten Commandments is, honor your father and mother. And the purpose of that is that your days may be long. This is what Exodus 12 or 20 and verse 12 says, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And certainly we remember the passage because it's over in Ephesians 6 that Paul reiterates that. And he talks about that. And that's certainly part of what he says the responsibility of children should be. Verse 2 of Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here's the point, as again he restates it, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. May I ask you a question? What does it mean to honor your parents? If you're a child tonight in this audience and you're hearing me, if you're 6 years old or if you're 7 or 8 years old, I want you to listen to me carefully. What does it mean to honor your parents? If you're 13 or 14, I want you to listen. I don't care how old you are, I want you to listen. But I want you to think about the question. What does it mean to honor? Well, to give honor is in essence to show respect and to be willing to obey them because of who they are. And I want you to think about this. Parents are charged. Paul says that the Lord charges us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what the responsibility of a parent is. And parents are charged that. And what's concerning to me is that sometimes that doesn't happen both ways. The parents have the responsibility and the child has the responsibility then to honor them and to respect them and to obey them. And sometimes that doesn't happen on both sides. But children need to understand that as a parent, I am obligated to the very best of my ability to meet that obligation. Children should have respect for their parents. And may I just say this? That I think generally, those children who are raised in Christian homes have that, generally speaking. There may be times when that may come under discussion, or there may be some concern about that. And I understand that. But what I want us to see is that that's not something that a child really has any opportunity to say, well, I want to do that or I don't want to do that. No, that's something that God expects of us. Whether we're a young child who still live in our home or whether we're older and we have our own families, God expects us to honor our parents. Look over, if you will, take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. This is probably one of these stories that you'll remember from your Old Testament history. 2 Samuel 24, David is being, literally, he's being chased by Saul through the wilderness. And in verse 4 of 2 Samuel 24, I think I may have written that down wrong. I'm talking about 1 Samuel 24. If that's not the case, then I am in trouble. Yeah, it's 1 Samuel 24. Look at verse 4. Between verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Here is a king who is pursuing David because he's trying to kill him. Because he's jealous of what David has done. And Saul literally is trying to find him to kill him. And David has an opportunity to do that. You're familiar with that story. And so he cuts off the edge of his garment. What he does ultimately is he feels guilt because he's even done that. Because here is the king. And while he understands that, well, yes, Saul's trying to kill him, he still has respect for who Saul is. And even though Saul's behavior toward David is despicable, certainly it's not something that he should be honored with, but David still understands, this is who he is. And I need to honor him as a result of that. I know there are children who, because of who their parents are, because of the way their parents behave or act toward them, they don't feel like their parents are deserving of honor or of respect. And to some degree, I can understand that. But the very fact that they are your parents, the very fact that they have brought one into the world is important. And even if they're not a very good parent, there is a sense in which all of them should be respected for who they are and for what they've done. Now, let me say something on the other side of that now, if I may. To honor and respect a parent, first of all, should be done because it's the right thing to do. And I want to just mention something else about this. We live in a day and age when there are a lot of children who for some reason or another, it just depends on the situation, I suppose, but who for some reason or another choose not to be respectful toward their parents, choose not to honor their parents in the way that God intends. Now, the other side of that is that there are children who choose to do that, to honor their parents, to respect their parents, and to treat their parents in the kind of way that God intends. And may I say this to those of you, because I believe I'm speaking to a lot of young people and children tonight who choose to go in that direction. You make a strong impression upon people of the world when you treat your parents the way God intends for you to treat them. I'm not suggesting that you do that because people will be impressed with you. I'm suggesting you do that, first of all, because that's what the right thing is to do. But second of all, you make an impression on people that is tremendous. And it's important for you to act that way toward your parents. When I go to different places and I see how other children react to their parents, I notice that a lot. Maybe that's just because that's just something I like to do. I want to do that. But I watch how children treat their parents. And I'm going to tell you something. You can find out an awful lot about a child by the way he treats or she treats her mother or her father. And how they treat them says a lot about who they are. And I have seen a lot of young people, a lot of places, who I think do a wonderful job in treating their parents as they need to be treated. And as I said at lunch to a few people today, I've been a few places where I wanted to take that kid and throw him up against a wall. And if I could have gotten away with it, I probably would have. But I want to tell you something, folks. It's important. It's a commandment of God to honor your mother, honor your father, respect them and obey them and honor them and do that because it's what God wants. But parents deserve that from their children. Let me also suggest that parents deserve gratitude. I want you to look at two other Proverbs with me. Turn over back over to chapter 30. These are pretty close by. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. And then over in chapter 31, the parable or the chapter on the virtuous wife, chapter 31 and verse 20. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Parents should be blessed, not cursed. Children, I want you just to do this. I want you to stop for a moment and I want you to consider what you have. I don't know. There may be somebody here who is malnourished. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you're not Kenny. And that's true. Nor are my children. Nor are most people, if not all people who are here. You have food. You have clothing. You have shelter. Typically, for most of you, you have somebody who takes you pretty much anywhere you need to go, or more importantly, possibly in your mind anyway, who takes you everywhere you want to go. I'm not suggesting that you do or you don't, or that's good or that bad. But I'm saying to you, your lives are really, in essence, so easy because there is somebody out there who's taking care of that. And you might say, well, you know, that's what parents are supposed to do. Parents are supposed to take care of all those needs. Well, that's true. If I choose to be a parent, I have some obligations. There are some things that I choose to do. And maybe not choose, but because I have children that God has assigned of me to do. There's no doubt about that. But being appreciated for what one does makes one task much easier to accomplish. In my notes, as I stare at them, I just wrote in my notes, parenting is hard. And you know, I wanted to put, I ought to know I am one. You know, we all of us who are parents, we understand that. It is a 24/7. It's not just faith that's 24/7. Parenting is a 24/7 job. It's an all day, every day, especially for the early years of one's life. And then as they get older, of course, that begins to wane. But even then, it's almost all the time. But I just want you to think about something. Children, I want you to think about this. What if your parents walked in one day to you and said, I quit. I'm done. I've done this now for 6-7 years. I've done this now for 10. You're 13 years old. You're 15 years old. It's about time for me to just let you go on your own. I just want you to think about that just a minute. And I want you to think about that because there are some parents who basically have done that. There are some parents who have basically quit. It may be that they just pretty much quit for a day. It may be that they've quit for a week. And there are even some parents who have just simply walked off the job, if you will, and they've just quit altogether. Well, obviously that's not something that parents are asked to do. That's not something that the Lord intends for them to do. The Lord intends for them to fulfill their responsibilities to you as their child. I get that. And hopefully all of us are doing that with our children. But there are some parents who refuse to do that. I'm going to ask this question, and the answer is going to be obvious. You know when you really appreciate being a parent? Or better, you know when you really begin to appreciate your own parents? That's the way I intended to ask the question. You know when that is, don't you? It's when you become a parent. It's when you have kids of your own. And the issue is because there's no instruction manual. There's nothing. I mean, we have the Bible, obviously, and we have statements that many of which are found in Proverbs that talk to us about, here's a way we conduct the business of a family. Here's how a father is to deal with his children. Here's how a mother is to deal with her children. And there are statements that are made and there are principles that are given that state that. But I'm telling you, from personal experience, there have been situations in my life with my own children where I wanted to go, okay, I need to look at the index and I need to scroll down and see what number the answer to this question is, and I can't find any of that. Because it's a hard thing to do. I'm looking for that, but it's a hard thing. And parents, what parents need to hear, I think a lot from their children is, Mom, thank you. Dad, thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. And I don't understand. Now, I'm going to tell you something, children. You don't understand the half of it. You don't understand a tenth of it. You don't understand hardly anything in reference to what your parents are actually doing for you. And I'm not stating this, and I'm not getting at them. I'm not getting on you. I just want you to understand that. And these children that Proverbs 31 talks about, how the children rise up and call a mother blessed. And the husband understands that. Her husband understands that. And he does the same thing. That's because he is appreciative and they're appreciative of what she does. And you know, in your own life, What helps you being willing to give of yourself is when somebody appreciates that. Yes, I know that my obligation to my children is to feed them and to clothe them. I mean, it goes way beyond that. That's even not the most important thing. But I'm going to tell you something. When my kids come to me and they say, "Dad, thank you for doing that," it means the world to me. And whether or not there's been a lot of sacrifice to what I've done, the fact that they have understood that's something that I've done. Not so much because I have to, but it's something that I've done because I've wanted to. That means the world. And may I just simply say to you that paying attention to your parents and helping them understand that you do understand the difficulty of the job and the difficulty of the responsibility is important. I don't say this for Steve's benefit because he's not even here. But I hope Pam will tell him I mentioned this. I was just happening to, I don't even know how I got to this YouTube video. And I want to be careful when I mention YouTube videos altogether. But I saw a YouTube video on Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant is a former football coach for the University of Alabama, and evidently a pretty good one. Now, I don't want anybody to editorialize that comment. I'm just stating what apparently is the case with most people. But it showed a locker room talk of Bear Bryant. And in this locker room talk, basically, he wasn't even talking about football. He was just talking in that deep, southern, rough, gruff voice. But I don't know if they were losing at halftime or winning at halftime, but basically he just said, "I want you tonight to go call your mama. And I want you tonight to go call your daddy, and I want you to tell them how much you appreciate them. And how much you're thankful for what they've given to you, and for what they've tried to give to you, and for what they can continue to do to you." And I was just impressed with the fact, I'm thinking about making that one of my halftime speeches. That won't even have to worry about the game. But I thought that's a good thing for kids to hear. We need young people. We need our young people to think more about rising up and appreciating and calling our mothers and our fathers that they're blessed and thank them for what they are receiving from their hands. You know, I was home over the past holidays. I got to go to Arkansas with my family and got to visit my parents, and my sisters were there, even for a short time with their families. And you know, it's just, you know, and all of you know this, but I'm getting older and my parents are getting older. And the fact of the matter is, I just simply don't know if I'll see them again. As far as I know, they're in good health. But every time I see my mother and my father, and every time we have one of these talks where, you know, we end up in the same room by ourselves, and that always happens, and I'm glad that happens because it just kind of gives me an opportunity to say some things to them. And this was just one of those times where I just, not because I thought of this sermon necessarily, but just because I thought this is just a good opportunity for me to say that. And I will tell you, even at 53, and even telling a mother who's 77 and a father who's almost 80, thank you for doing what you've done for me to this point in time in my life. That means a lot. And I am as sincere about that as anything I could ever say. I am thankful for them. But I could tell that the fact that I said it meant something to them. In essence, I was rising up and calling my mother blessed. And I would certainly do that for my mother. And I think all of you, all of us, as we consider, so some of you, your parents have passed, and I realize that, and some of you don't have that opportunity, but may I say to you, don't take your parents for granted. And don't take what they're doing to you for granted and for you for granted either. Let me also suggest that parents deserve our care. As we get older and as parents get older, there are opportunities for us to care for them. In Matthew 15, Jesus really rebukes the Pharisees. They make an issue about the fact that they're, you know, they've given to the Lord, and therefore they don't have the ability to take care of their parents. And Jesus talks about that, and he says, "You misunderstand. Your traditions have overtaken what you really ought to be doing." And I think the principle is certainly applied that what you need to do is care for your parents. And that's a hard thing to define. I realize that. But I want to say this to all of us. I think our parents deserve our care. I think that's a biblical concept that's in the Scripture. I think there's a role reversal. As they get older, you know, we have to determine what kind of care we're going to give to them. In my own family, especially with my wife's family, with Ann and John and Emily and Damon, we are trying to, I believe with all of my heart, to the best of our ability, to care for Lester and Elaine. And not to be too personal about all that, but I will tell you that that's just a difficult thing to determine. It's a hard thing to determine. But what I have seen in my wife and in my sisters-in-law is a willingness and a want to say, whatever we have to do to help our father and our mother, that's what we're going to do. And I appreciate that. As a son-in-law, I appreciate that. I know Damon and John do as well. And we do what we can. And I'm not suggesting that we do it perfectly. I'm not suggesting that we do everything we ought to do. But I do believe that the intent is there. And I believe we're trying. And all I mean by that is that I think all of us, no matter what our circumstances are, we understand that part of what parents should expect of all of us is that as they get older, we are there to help care for them. It may be that we can't do it personally. It may be that we have to have other people to help us. I'm not suggesting the Bible tells you here's the way you do that, but I am suggesting that by principle, that parents should deserve that from their children. And I bring that up tonight because that's maybe it's just because it's such a personal thing with me right now, because I see what my own family is going through, because it's because I've been with my own parents, and I see that at some point in time that there's going to be some effectiveness for myself and helping care for them, and I'm going to have to deal with that in some way. But I think that's a principle that's stated, certainly in Scripture. And I think it's something that parents should expect from their children if we're trying to do what God wants us to do. And then the passage which Trey read from Proverbs, the 6th chapter, let me close with this point from Proverbs 6. In verse 20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you, and when you sleep, they will keep you, and when you awake, they will speak with you." I think one of the things, I know one of the things that a parent tries to do is we try to train our children so that when they get older and as they begin to make decisions that will affect their behavior and will affect their reputation and will affect their character, what we try to do as parents is we try to teach them so that when they reach that point, they will make good decisions. I don't know of a parent whose prayer life it doesn't include, help my children make good decisions. I pray that prayer every day. I know others of you pray that prayer every day because I've heard you. And I know most of you, if not all of you, that I haven't heard. I know you pray that prayer because that's what you're trying to accomplish. You want, here's the prayer. You really offer the prayer that's stated in Proverbs 6. My son, keep your father's command. Well, why do we want them to do that? Don't forsake the law of your mother. Bind them on your heart continually. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they'll lead you. And when you sleep, they'll keep you. That's why we make the effort to try to help you understand what it is that God wants for you in your life. And may I say this about that? I think as parents, we should expect our children to be obedient. I think as parents, we should expect good behavior from our children. I think that's something we need to help them understand. You know, we're teaching you because this is what we expect of you. We're teaching you, we're trying to help you, not because we want to force you to do that, but because we want you to understand this is what's in your best interest. Matter of fact, that's what the statement says. You know, you honor your father and mother. You obey your father and mother. It's going to be the thing that's going to help you in your life. It's going to, if all goes as it should, Unless there are unusual circumstances, it will allow you to have a long life. That's a truism that's stated not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Now, doing right is first about obeying God. I realize that. But parents who are teaching their children to obey God deserve better than for their children to be disobedient. Not because it's all about pleasing a father or a mother, but because what training that they have received was designed so that they would make those kind of decisions. I realize that doesn't always happen. I understand that. But I think it's certainly something that a parent should deserve. I think it's something that a parent would expect. And when, as this command states, it encourages sons and daughters to keep their father's command and don't forsake the law of your mother. Understand, this is what you've been taught. And I would certainly include the fact that you've been taught these principles that are found in Scripture. And when that happens, I expect my children, we all should expect our children to obey these things and understand the value that comes from these things. There are, I don't know, I think the love of a husband and wife is obviously the most intimate of all earthly relationships. I think that is clear from Scripture. I understand that that's clear from experience. But children, I want you to know that the love with which your parents love you is hard to explain. It's a relationship that's really hard to explain. Those of you who are fairly new parents, you're beginning to understand that. Those of you who hope to be one day, you know, you anticipate that. Those of you who are older, whose children are older, you understand that in a very mature way. But because that relationship is so intimate, and because it's not unique, it's unique in the sense that it's a parent-child relationship, but because it is so unique, it can be both helpful and hurtful. It can be some of the best feelings and it can be some of the worst feelings. And I just want those of you who are children to evaluate how you live your life. And then I want you to ask this question. By the way you're living your life, and I'm not suggesting that this is the primary motivation, but it certainly is a motivation. What does that do for your parents? Are you living your life based upon what they're trying to teach you from God's Word? Or are you living your life in some sort of selfish way, doing what you're doing and reacting the way you react, simply because that's what you want? May I just suggest to you that you try to be less selfish? And try to really consider what you're living and how you're living and how it affects your parents. As you get older, all that comes into greater focus. And I'm not suggesting to you in any kind of way that I have all the answers. I'm not suggesting in any kind of way that we've talked about everything or that we've even talked about the things we discussed in the best way. But I think it's good for children to be aware of that. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's hard even for good kids. Sometimes it's easy for even good kids to slip up occasionally and maybe not appreciate and value the relationship they have with their parents. And maybe the same thing is true of parents. But I think that these things are certainly so important to us. And I would just encourage all of you tonight to do some reevaluation. And try to make these relationships that you have with the closest people on earth, try to make them everything that they ought to be. I have a former classmate of mine in high school. And she has struggled for years with her relationship with her parents. I have taught with her both formally. I've talked to her informally. I've made appointments to go by and see her. I've just stopped by her house when I was in town. And I've had conversations with her. And one of her greatest regrets is how she treated her mother when she was in high school. And she knows she can't go back and change it, but she understands that. But what's discouraging, and what's always been discouraging to me, is that while her mother was still alive, she really apparently, and even from what she told me, she apparently made no real effort to go back and to reestablish that relationship. May I just say this? If there are hindrances, if there are problems in the relationship that you have with your parents or that you have with your children, as much as in you lies, try to correct that. As much as humanly possible, try to deal with that situation. Try to help that situation. I'm not suggesting that everything will just turn out rosy, but I am suggesting this. It's an opportunity for you to make right what's wrong. May I encourage you to do that? I hope that the lesson has been beneficial to you. I hope that it's at least encouraged you to think about these things and maybe to reevaluate in some way the relationship that you have, even in your own family. The relationship that we have with God is most often talked about from a parent-child relationship. God is our Father. We are His child. I cannot think of a better way for God to identify the love that He has for us other than to say He is our Heavenly Father. And He loves us with the kind of love that is unconditional, that wants us so very badly to come to Him. If you've never done that tonight, if you've never come to the Father who loves you with all His heart, you need to do that. Or if, like the prodigal son that we read about in Luke 15, if you have, in essence, wandered away from the Father, there is a man, there is a heavenly Father, rather, who stands looking for you. But the choice that you have is your own. You'll have to come back to Him, but He wants you to come back. That's a great picture, isn't it? I think about that story. I think about the relationships that I have, and if that were my own son or daughter, I just think about how difficult that would be and how every day I would long for that person to come back. Well, God is longing for you to come back if you're away from Him. And we would certainly encourage you to do that tonight. If we can help you do that, would you come as we stand and as we sing?